cool. All right. That takes care of that. So I want to start by reading a scripture today that God just kind of revealed to me this one today as I was sitting there. I was like, well, what about this? And so I was like, all right, I'm going to read this one to start out with. Okay, so it's in Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 14. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Okay, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let me say a prayer for us as we get started. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the opportunity to open your word and to hear what you would have to say to us, Father. I pray that you would help us to let go of anything that's clouding our minds right now, and that you would just fill us with your spirit and really help us to understand the message that you have for us today. Father, we thank you for this time and for this opportunity to gather. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So I'm just going to tell you a couple stories, all right? I'm going to tell you a couple stories. And we'll tie them all together here at the end, I promise, okay? And by the way, no one in here over the last couple of weeks has even asked me how my driving has been. And I told you that I was going to throw shame on you if you didn't, right? Because I said, you need to, right? Hold me accountable, okay? And so shame on you for not holding me accountable. I think, and maybe my family can attest to this, that I have been better, okay? I really do think that I have been better. I'm not going to say I'm perfect, but I've not been like screaming as I pound the steering wheel, okay? And I think a big part of that is I've had to actually let go control, right? As I hop into the passenger seat and my teens hop into the driver's seat. And so I had to come to this place where I like have to enter the car thinking, this may be the last time I shut the door. And then I just have to be like at peace with it. Okay, no, I'm kidding. My kids are actually really good drivers. Okay, I'm not kidding you. Like I'll be driving, like Rachel drives me to work now, right? So she comes in and so she drives me to work and I get in and it's early morning and I'm just sipping on my coffee and I'm just like, whatever, you know the way, go, you know, right? Except I don't, right? I'm like, slow down. You're getting too close to the curb. You're doing, right? So little things like that, but just learning experiences. Okay, but I think I'm getting a little better, right? I think it goes a long way, too, in how I choose to demonstrate love, right? And that's what I talked about the last time we were here, and I kind of want to continue on that theme a little bit, okay? But we're going to take a different perspective on it. So right now at work, I am super big, right? My big passion right now is this idea of study abroad. Okay, anybody ever have an opportunity to study abroad, ever? Yeah, I saw one hand kind of like, whoop, up and went, down he goes, right? What's that? Yeah, Marine Corps. and you were abroad, and you did study. Right? I can believe that for sure. So this idea of study abroad is like blowing my mind right now, okay? And it's because it takes a couple of things that I really love and it kind of smushes them together, right? This idea of I get to study science, I get to study chemistry, but I get to do it elsewhere and I love to travel, okay? But a study abroad is not just like, it's not at all like a vacation. It's not a sightseeing trip, okay? And there are people who may use study abroad as a way to go and travel and see stuff, but that's not really the point. Because at a sightseeing trip, it's really all about you. It's about, oh, I've always wanted to see the Eiffel Tower. Oh, I've always wanted to go and walk in Berlin. Okay? Even when you travel in the States, it's like you go to the beach, but it's kind of selfish because I want to walk on the beach and I want to have some quiet time and I want to sit by the pool. And there's a bunch of me involved in sightseeing and tourism. Okay? Or you're like traveling to go and see family, right? Which in and of itself is work, Okay, right? You've got your family, and then you've got the relatives, and you all meet somewhere, and you're like, hey, this is great for like the first hour, and then you're like, I now know why we live 8 hours away. You know? But even then, it's kind of this selfish. You live in this bubble, right? You live in this little bubble of you and then maybe your extended family. But in study abroad, you've got to like expand past that. Because if you do study abroad right, you're purposefully placing yourself in situations where you have to engage with another person from a different culture. And it's not just the server who's given you your curry verst or anything like that, right? You're actually sitting down and having a conversation with someone who does, in my case, science. And I hear their perspective. And I start to realize we're not all that different. We're not all that different. And that's what I love about study abroad. Because I've got a lot of students who've never been abroad. And they have a mindset that maybe sees like other cultures as a them mentality. Does that make sense to you? Because I don't know if it's making sense to me as I'm saying it. So is that making sense to you? Right, this idea of, well, they, over there, those Europeans, right? I mean, it's a giant population, and unless you have a touch to it, it stays a giant population, and you feel a little bit removed, a little bit divorced, like it's not really my responsibility. But when you start to put a face to it, even one, then that humanizes an entire culture. And now you have a heart for that culture. Okay? I'm going to tell you a couple stories. In Munich, right? So I took a group over, and we were in Munich, and this was my chemistry and art class. And one of the end events, so like the second to the last day, we were done with all of our like museum reports, and we the students were standing in front of artwork and talking, and we did all of the visits, and we taught. I had arranged for a bike tour of Munich with our group. So excited. I love to bike, right? So this was me being a little selfish, right? So I was like, yeah, we're going to put that in, right? Because I want to do it. I don't care what my students want to do. I want to do this bike tour. It sounds really cool. So we get to the place. They got all these bikes lined up, and they're not the newest bikes. They have wheels and handlebars, pretty much, right? And so we're getting on the bikes, and then it occurred to me, wow, I don't know if a lot of my students know how to ride bikes. Okay, and so everybody had to like practice a little, and people were like, you know, squeaky, squeaky, like kind of, but they were keeping it a little bit straight, and so we were good, we were okay, and then there was one student who was really unsure, and so I was like, all right, you know what, if you don't want to do this, you and I can stay back, and we'll find something else to do, and then we'll meet the group later, and she was like, no, I want to do this, I'm going to try, okay, that's fine, I mean, you're like 21. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to say you can't. But if you're not sure, or if you ever don't want to, let's stop. And so we biked like 3 blocks, and it took us like 5 minutes to go 3 blocks. Okay. And we caught up with the group because they were waiting for us. And then I was like, now wait a minute. This was hard for you. It's not going to get easier. Do you want to stop? We'll go back. We can even just leave the bikes here and we'll walk around. No, I'm going to do it. Okay. The next thing we did, right, always burned in my memory, we turned the corner onto the bike path. Okay, but now in Germany, everybody bikes. Everybody bikes. And it was like Tour de France. Okay, except people were in suits. And they were just flying, okay? It's like you're getting on 465, but you're stopped at the on-ramp, and you're like 65 miles an hour, and you're like, I am never going to get in here, right? Everybody else goes, and they merge in, and we go, and we're doing fine, okay? Except to get in, it's you turn, it's a gravel path, and it goes downhill, okay? So this student turned, started to go downhill. I was behind her. I saw the whole thing happen. Freaked out, lost control, put her feet down, went over the bars. Okay. And so this is where my story begins, okay? Because the rest of the group went ahead. We had a few more fall-off bikes, but not to the extent of this one. I got my first ambulance ride in Germany. I got my first ER visit in Germany. I missed the bike ride, but I don't think, in hindsight, I would traded this experience. Now, I'm sure the student is like, I would have traded this experience, okay? She was fine, by the way. She was fine, nothing like broken, minor concussion. She had a helmet on, but she still hit her head pretty hard. But she was fine. But my experience was trying to translate with all of my, like, very little German that I know, medical terminology from the nurse who spoke no or very little English through me to the student. It was difficult. But it made me start to think, right? This would be me trying to communicate to someone who spoke German through someone who spoke very little English, right? All of a sudden, I put myself in the shoes of that nurse. And it made me work even harder to help that nurse communicate. Okay? And then once I did all of the paperwork and stuff, I was like, you know what? I'm a guy. You're not. I'm leaving. Okay? So now you're on your own. We've got you started. Now you're on your own. And I think they found a better English speaker, which was good for her. And I sat in the waiting room for like 3 hours. Okay? And I saw people come in, and I saw people go. And I had nothing to do. So I just put myself in their shoes just to try and understand. I saw a little kid in his they don't play like Little League or football, right? Soccer, right? And he was in his soccer uniform. And clearly, he had a broken arm. Okay, because his arm, he was just, and it wasn't sling or anything, he was just waiting, he was just holding it here, and he and his brother were fighting physically, and not a wince of pain in him, right? And I'm just like, wow, really tough guy. And then I had, there was this immigrant family over in the corner, and the parents spoke no German, but the kids spoke Arabic and German, and were all the translation. And I thought, wow, pretty cool. And then there was this woman, this older woman, who came in. I don't know what her issue was, right? She and I looked at each other a lot and smiled. Okay. But she had like a plastic bag around this bandaged foot, and it was really juicy. I don't know what else to say. All right, it was very, lots of sores on her foot. And she was just waiting. And she was waiting. Just like me, I was waiting. She didn't have any information. I didn't have any information. And all of a sudden in that moment, we weren't all that different. And it really highlights for me that need to really empathize with other people. If we really want to show love, if we really want to love, then maybe it's our job to put ourselves in their position and see life from their perspective. Because if we can just catch a glimpse into what they deal with or who they are, it demystifies them. They are no longer this other. They become someone like us. And we can open up our hearts a little bit more. And that experience, actually triggered a lot. It got me thinking about past experiences. And this is one of your assignments, okay? So we're not going to have discussion today because I think Greg is going to come up here in a few and talk a little bit more about missions here, okay? But here's your assignment. I want you to think back on past experiences that you've had, right? Just memories, encounters that you've had. But try and put yourself into the other person's shoes. Try and see life from their perspective, okay? So here's mine. As an undergrad in college, with my RA, and my RA can be best described as Rich Mullins, but Cajun. Okay, that's who he reminded me of, okay? We went down to Jesus People USA. Anybody ever hear of Jesus People USA? Japuza? Yep. And we served in a soup kitchen. Okay. Inner city Chicago to me was terrifying because the way I grew up, you didn't go to Chicago, and when you did, you went to certain spots because those were safe and everything else was unsafe, and you will get shot or you will get mugged or you will get killed. We went down to a pretty rough neighborhood. And we hopped in a soup kitchen, and I remember serving food, okay? And this memory had long since passed because I didn't have the perspective I have now to process it. But now God reminds me of this, and I can process it better. There was a man who came through the line, and I served some food, right? And I looked at him, and you could tell that there was a little bit of shame there. I'll not forget his face. It was down, his eyes were constantly down, and he walked like this, and he would glance up every now and again. And there was shame there. And then his wife came through. And then his kids came through. And that experience didn't get me until I had kids. Because what must it felt like for that guy to have to say, tonight if we're going to eat, we got to go down to the soup kitchen. I'm sorry, kids. I mean, if you can just look at life from somebody else's perspective, it changes your world. I want to read to you from Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, okay? And this is what I've been meditating on for a while. When I was in Boston, I read this. And since I've been in Boston, which, Boston, Lori, amazing city. Amazing city, right? Top five, easily, that I visited. Easily, right? If you have not been, she's not lying when she says Boston's awesome. Okay, I'm not talking about Patriots. I'm talking about the city, and I'm talking about the people. Okay, so I've been thinking about this topic, and this is the scripture that I have, and I want to read it to you. It's Philippians 2, and we're going to start in verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, right? We should be like, yeah, all right, I got some encouragement. Being united with Christ, this is good. If any comfort from his love, yes, please. If any fellowship with the Spirit, okay, I'm still digging on this, right? If any tenderness and compassion, okay. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and purpose. Oh, so now there's a thing that goes along with it. That's okay. Because what Paul is saying here is if we have all of these other things, then guess what? Our job is to become one in purpose and spirit and love. So if we have this encouragement, if we feel love that God has given us, then we need to become one in purpose and spirit. And then do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. That's tough. Because how do you define others? Friends? You guys? Does my influence stop here? I just have to consider you better than me? Or does it extend outside these walls? And where do we draw the line at others? You're in, but you're out. Or do we draw the line? How many of you draw a line? I draw a line. I decide in my narrow mind who is in and who is out. But I don't think that's the technical definition of others, is it? Others is broad. Others crosses oceans. Others crosses socioeconomic barriers. I almost want to put the word all in front of it. Right? All others. In humility, consider all others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And here's the thing, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. So that's like the trump card, right? Right, you pull that out and you're like, I win. Paul is like, and guess what? If you were going to argue, stop. Because we need to be like Christ. And consider what, and this is what I've been thinking about. This is what I've been considering. This is what I've been chewing on for the last few weeks. Should be the same as that of Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And he did that for us. We have this ultimate model of empathy. Here we have God, who took human form, stepped into our existence, and understands everything that we have been and will go through. Someone who can perfectly empathize with our condition. And yet, I'm convinced that God does not draw a line and say, you are in and you are out. I think in his mind, it's an all. Christ died for all. Christ's love extends to all. And I think that's our call as well. I think that's our call as well. While I was in Boston, I was walking from Charlestown. Is that where Bunker Hill is? Yeah. So with all the really cute little front porches that decorate, yeah, they were really fun. Some were like Halloween-y still, some were fall-y-ish, harvest-y kind of things. But all these front porches of these little walk-ups were really decorated pretty. And then I walked from there back to Cambridge area, which is where the hotel was that I was staying, past Subway Station, under the bridge, under the big interstate, okay, heading over towards a Cambridge area. And as I was walking along, I saw a guy walking towards me, looked a little rough, right? Looked a little, like, I don't know, I almost want to say like he didn't belong, right? Looked a little, maybe dirty. But I had to stop and put myself in his shoes because he was walking with his head down, hands in his pocket. And I wondered what he was thinking, right? Because here I was like, wow, I don't know if you really, wow, you don't fit the mold of the people who are around you. But I wonder if he also said, wow, I don't fit the mold of the people around me. I wonder how many people are judging me right now. There was one, this one, right? Because I had that thought. I was like, wow, you look like a rougher character. And I had to catch myself and say, but wait a minute, you're just like me. And then it started me thinking about like the homeless ministry that we do here, right? The Hope for the Homeless, which by the way is this today, right? Sunday. Bring your stuff. When we eat and watch the video, we're going to put bags together. And these bags are things that you can hand out to our homeless neighbors. Okay? Have some socks in them, maybe some gloves, some food to meet an immediate need. But more than that, it's a way to say you're not forgotten. Because part of me, when I saw that man walking towards me, and I started to think of life from his perspective and what he must be feeling and what he must be thinking, I thought about me as a 10-year-old, right? And as a 10-year-old, I didn't think I'd be here. I had no clue. All I did was I was like outside at a summer night playing like Ghosts in the Graveyard or Flashlight Tag or something like that, right? That's what I did. Carefree, running around, enjoying life. I didn't think I'd be a professor. I didn't even know. I didn't think I'd be here. I didn't even know. And so I started thinking of this guy as like, what was his 10-year-old like? What was his 10-year-old self like? Right? I think about the guys on the street corners. Like you walk downtown and there's a guy like sitting there drumming on a bucket or just holding a sign, right? He's got a bag and a dog or whatever, and that's everything he owns right there. And I think, did he ever think when he was 10 years old that he was going to end up on the street? And I don't think the answer is yes. Either circumstance or choice put him there. But that doesn't even matter. Because here's the thing, he still has a name. And I wonder how many people a day walk by him and ignore him. And maybe he doesn't really want money. Maybe he really wants is just somebody to acknowledge him by name. Maybe he just wants somebody to know his name so he's not forgotten. Because I think if I were sitting on a street corner, I think that's what I'd want. Somebody to say, you're not forgotten. I know that's what Christ did for me. Right? He died for me. And you can say the same thing, right? But he died for me. He knows me by name. He says, Mike, you're not forgotten. I remember you. I know you. I show you love. But see, now it's our job to go and do the same. So I think what I want to do this year with the homeless bags, because even when I've had them in the past, I've always felt really good about, like, I open my window and here you go, a little something for you, have a great day, right? And then I drive away. And it always hits me, like, I just told this guy to have a great day. He's standing in the freezing cold, begging for food, and I told him to have a great day. I'm a jerk. So I think this year what I want to try and do is I want to take some of these homeless bags and I want to go downtown. And I want to find the guy sitting on the corner and I want to stop and I want to hand it to him and I want to ask him what their name is. And I want to call him by name. Have a little conversation with him. It doesn't have to be a lot. But I want to let these folks know that they're not forgotten. Because if we're supposed to show love, then let's go show love to everybody. And that includes people here, includes people in the area, includes overseas. The job is to show love. I think the first major step to that is empathy. You've got to see him as a person before you can love him as God loves him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word and Lord, for your example. Lord, you came from perfection. And you came to earth and you took human form and you experienced everything that we will ever know and experience. From the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. Lord, you understand it. And we thank you for that. Father, convict us and help us to do the same. Help us to understand what others might be going through. We may not have shared experience, but it doesn't take a leap of faith to understand that people have had childhoods and people go through suffering and people have illness and we've had illness, and we can understand, Father, we can understand them. Just open our minds and give us your spirit so that we can do this. And Father, help us show love in that way. Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, as we gather tonight, Lord, just be preparing our hearts and minds. We can enjoy the fellowship and enjoy the fun. But let's not forget why we're here, Lord. And that's to demonstrate your love to a dying world who needs to understand that your love for them goes above all else. It's our job to show and tell. Help us to show and tell. And we thank you for that opportunity and for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.